shepherds is what we'll be looking at today. Turn, if you would, in Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. I hope you have your Word of God, as I always challenge you to do. You have it open, whether it's electronically, a pew Bible in front of you, if you've got your Bible. We turn it open and we look at these words, and as the pastor reads it, we make sure that he is preaching and teaching, thus says the Word of God. That's so important. Can anybody say amen? You don't need my opinion. You don't need an agenda. You need thus says the Word of God. And the only way we know that is if we open it and we read it and we keep the man accountable behind this desk that's preaching. Let's stand to our feet, if you would. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We know the story well. We was up at James's, our Sunday school class. He read this, the Christmas story. Most of the time it's Luke. And whenever with our, I hope we read this story with our families. I hope we have traditions that includes the Bible reading on Christmas morning, those kind of things. And most of the time it's Luke, Luke's gospel. And so we're looking at chapter 2 and starting in verse 8. And the Word of God says this: "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching or keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name that your word will go forth. Touch our hearts in this season for your glory. Thank you for the joy that Christ brings. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Third candle, the candle of joy, or the shepherd's candle. Think, can you imagine? I want us to think about, on this third Advent, the anticipation of the Christ coming, the birth of Christ, and how we look forward to that, the time and the year and the season that this is, and what it means to us, and what it brings. And I want us to think about these stories that we read, the Word of God, and how, think about the fictional things that we read and all this, and we would not have chose this for the king. Let's be honest. If we were writing, if man was writing this, some mythological thing, he would have made the king come in splendor. He would not have been born in a manger. He would not have went to shepherds, would not be the first people that the announcement would be made to. Aren't you glad the pure Word of God gives us the unadulterated story? Aren't you glad in a world that says it's all make-believe that you have the truth, that we can go into this season and understand and know what it means because thus says the Word of God and He's given it to us? Aren't you glad for that? I love in Luke's gospel, Luke will want us to know three things when you're reading it. What does he want us to know? Salvation, found in Christ alone. Guess what? The news is for everyone. Praise God. And we take that in as we read this. We'll see that. The birth announcement of the king. Aren't you amazed with new birth announcements? Come on. The day, the year, the life of social media. They come up with different ways, right? Now they've got where they blow up stuff or something, and blue or pink powder. I mean, balloons all these different ways of birth announcements. Listen, there's nothing compares to this one. Nothing compares to the Son of God that came to earth. Why is that? Because it was an announcement for all men, all women. Everybody to find hope, to find joy in the Christ child. And so I want us to think about, as the veil of heaven and earth separates, there's that separation line. God made it that one day it won't be separated, but that where heaven touches earth and that veil is separated for a little bit on this night, and we see that, and it comes. physical form for us to see, to place our hope in, to find the joy of the shepherds. First, I want us to think about the unusual recipients. Look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. In the same country as the country of Bethlehem, we know that God in his great plan in Micah chapter 5, that he had told it that the Savior would come and be born in Bethlehem. And so we know that the census, Caesar Augustus, which was a pawn in the hand of God, the great Caesar that made everybody go back to their hometown to have the census, that all this was working for God's glory, God's purpose. Out in the fields around Bethlehem were some shepherds. Let's think about that for just a minute. Who does the Creator allow to hear the announcement? Shepherds. You know what shepherds were? They were the lowest rung of society. Dirty. They didn't have a place to take a lot of baths. They cleaned up. They lived outside. They were unclean. Many times they couldn't go to church because they were unclean. So they were looked upon as untrustworthy. People that were looked down upon. And this is who God chose to come and make announcements of the birth of the greatest thing that would ever happen to humankind. Think about that. If we were going to make an announcement of the greatest thing, who would we choose? I mean, he didn't choose people of status. He didn't choose people of education, socioeconomic high standing, none of that. What did he choose? It was God's choice, and he chose that which people looked down upon to make the announcement to. I love this. God comes at unexpected times, to unexpected places, to unexpected people. Let that sink in. You might be sitting here and think that God doesn't care about you. That's a lie from Satan, by the way. You might think that you've done something in your past that God can never forgive you for. That's a lie from Satan. The Scripture tells us, although it confess their sin, he's faithful and just to forgive them of their sins, cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? I love Mary and her song over in Luke 1:52, her Magnificat, when she found out that the Christ child, she was actually going to be part of the Christ child coming. Listen to what she said. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. When Christ came, the ground became level. And praise the Lord. Listen, hold on a minute. Amen, preacher. Praise God. That's good preaching. Okay, no problem. We'll keep that. We'll get that going. The ground was level. In other words, there's nobody here. In our Sunday school lesson this morning with the young people, we were talking about, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount about not being judgmental. The reason that we are ever judgmental is that we feel like we're superior to somebody. I want you to know this morning, nobody is more superior than anybody else in this room this morning. Nobody. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm so glad that he chose the shepherds to come to. And I'm reminded when Paul at the church at Corinth, he told the church at Corinth, God uses the foolish things. Amen. Praise God. That's what you're looking at this morning. The foolish things of this world. Aren't you glad that he doesn't go by your status, how much money you make, how much money you give? He doesn't do any of those things, how good looking you are. It's all right. I didn't expect to get amen out of that anyway. I thought maybe Sandy might, but no. She just laughed. She led the laugh. No, listen. God comes to the shepherds. He comes, what? He comes to the shepherds, and you know what he says? Come and see. Come and see. I know I can't help it going there. You'll find that out next Sunday. Right? God has done a wonderful thing. Go and tell. Come and see, and then go and tell. You'll hear about that next week, okay? These are songs that you get, cantata songs that you get in your mind, and they just pop up at any time, okay? I want you to know, not only does he, the unusual recipients, but look at the angelic appearance in verse 9. This is where heaven and earth, the veil comes open. Look what it says. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, you're out there. They don't have the technology. Just everything's not lit up, right? They might have a little fire going for warmth, but there you are out on the side of the hill and probably the beautiful stars and all these things, and then all of a sudden, light bursts forth. That's going to get your attention, is it not? It's going to make your heart go, whoop. what in the world? And it, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around him. Listen, when the glory of the Lord, the kind of glory of the Lord shines around you, it supersedes any brightness that you can think of. The night becomes day. And here they are standing out there, and this angel appears. And I want you to know, this is the problem that our knowledgeable, intelligent, educated people, this is where they have their problem. Why? Well, angels. How can you know if they're real or not? How can you say that there's such a thing? Let me make it just as simple as I can today, okay, to the educated and uneducated. It says it right here. Right here! It's not something that was made up, but the Scripture said an angel of the Lord appeared. Well, I've never seen an angel. Guess what? I love my wife. I can't describe to you how it looks and what it looks like, but I love her. Do you believe that? She's never seen that love except manifest in certain ways. I love her. An angel of the Lord, I can't describe you and tell you. I just know that in the beginning, God created it all. He made angels, and one of them bursts on the scene to make an announcement. End of story. How hard is that? How complicated is that to understand? Well, if you're empiricist, if you've got a taste, smell, touch it, and all that, you don't believe it. Listen, then how do you believe in air? Is that not what he used with Nicodemus when he goes to Nicodemus and says, "You're the wind, you see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind"? How many of you have seen a wind? Well, we've seen effects of it, ain't we? Maybe up here. Somebody said, "It's blowing 30 miles an hour off a mountain the other day." I said, "Dear Lord, that's a normal day up here in the high country. 30 miles, we don't even think nothing about that." The appearance of the angels that comes to the Lord, and it stumbles a lot of people. We don't have any problem when we believe, and our starting point is God. You don't have any problem with angels, okay? He created it all. Here we are, listen, here we are in this world that he created, spinning at over a thousand miles an hour on a quest out around the sun at over 15,000 miles an hour. You're on that ride, and yet we don't feel it today. Do we believe it? Yes, we do. Why? Because we're sitting here. We're not flying around. I believe in the laws of gravity, but I believe God created them. I don't believe it just happened or evolved over millions of years. I believe God said, "Let there be," and it all fell into place, and these angels burst on the scene that night in a Bethlehem on the side of the hill to some shepherds. No problem. Our intelligence is a hindrance many times. We get so educated that we educate God right out of everything. Listen, that's not education, that's ignorance. Let me go on that and say that extra loud. Ignorance. Whenever we reject God for our own intelligence. Our starting point is God. And look at their response. The same response you'd have, by the way. And they were greatly afraid. I have a problem with people that say they have this experience and angels, and Jesus is just this buddy with them. Every time I ever see an angel or heaven touch earth, I see fear. I see fear, great fear. Why? Because life, I think C.S. Lewis said it, that it's always shocking to find life where you didn't expect it. Because the angelic appearance, but look at the vital explanation of angels, verses 10 through 12. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." If we come to Christmas without this explanation, we'll do Christmas like everybody else does it, okay? We'll just do Christmas as a season, a time of getting together, eating, opening gifts. Is that what season is? No, Christmas is. No, it's an explanation. It's Christ. He said, "Don't be afraid." He comforts, the angels comfort the shepherds because heaven's touching earth, and every time that happens, there's always fear. And what does he say? We have, don't fear, we got good news of great joy, the joy of the shepherds. The joy to the world. The joy that you can find in your own life if you're lacking it here this morning. The joy of Christ. It can be the best Christmas you've ever had. Not because you got what what you wanted, not because you were off from work an extra long time, not because you're happy with something or out. You can have joy because you realize it's about Jesus. If you take the tree away, you take the decorations, you take all the presents, all the eating, all the get-together, all the vacation time, it's still Christmas. Praise God. It's still Christmas. We need to teach our kids that. Nothing wrong with the gifts. Make it about Jesus, though. Make it the reason we give gifts is because the greatest gift. We got all those one-liners. Stand on them. Believe them. Don't just say them. We have Christmas because Christ has come. Born to you this day in the city of David. What's he saying? This day, this time, this place. Why is that so important? God steps into time and space. That which we live in as human beings. That which he has always existed outside of, he entered. That's God in this place, time and place, the city of David. A Savior. Who is it? God's provision for human, the human predicament. Our problem is sin. We're born with it. And our only answer is Christ. The problem is, Christ is the answer, by the way. Do you believe that, Pastor David? Yes, I do. Christ is the answer. The problem is the world don't know what the question is. Okay? They don't. They're searching for an answer. They don't even know what the question is. Christ is the answer to all the problems of humanity. He comes on the scene. Christ the Lord. That's not a second name. It's saying he is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the prophet, priest, and king. He is what the Old Testament has been looking forward to. He's here. And look who gets the announcements. Those shepherds on the side of the hill. The last person that ever thought they would get that announcement. And there they stand. Heaven is touching earth. What a great thought. This is something, listen, something we should think about. The problem, if our problem is a heart problem. We needed a new heart. We had a problem with sin. And the only way we ever got that through was this babe to come to this earth on a Bethlehem night. For God to step into time, to give his life, to grow into a man and give his life on a cross called Calvary. To make a way for the gap, to bridge that gap that's open right here for just a minute, to bridge that gap between heaven and earth. Christ is the bridge. The cross is the bridge. And this is the answer. He came to die for all mankind. And these old shepherds are receiving the greatest message, the same greatest message that we carry, by the way, today. Christ has come. He gave his life. He's coming again. He's resurrected. The greatest message of Christmas is Christ. He gives this audience, I love a sign. You know what he says? You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. No big deal. That's what they did. That swaddling clothes kept that baby filled warm, safe. That was no big deal. But what's the rest? Lying in a manger. These old boys knew what a manger was, a feeding trough. They're thinking, now the swaddling clothes is a little different, but lying in a feeding trough? Look at the cohesiveness of the shepherds receiving this. And you'll find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. It ain't going to be hard for them to find, is it? They know where to go to find a feeding trough. Or where animals are killed. That's how your Savior came. Could have come any way he wanted to, but came to lay where animals are fed, something that you wouldn't even put your own baby in, let's be honest. And yet Christ came in that way for us. And listen, please understand, they get this message, they receive this great word. What are you going to do with it? That's the question for today. Look at the shepherd's response, verses 13 through 20. And suddenly, listen, it's not over. All these old boys have had a good night. Woo, look what's happened. And then all of a sudden, it ain't over. It's getting better. And then suddenly, it's almost like heaven could not wait anymore. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. While the angels still speaking, it's like heaven has to burst forth. And here you have all these myriads of angels. Can you imagine standing up? Can you? And they're singing praises unto God. They're doing what angels were created to do. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they're doing, is this multitude praising God. They can no longer hold back. And here's the deal. The angels left and the shepherds, you know what they could have said? Oh, what a great night we've had. We'll talk about this. We'll pass this on down from now on. We'll tell our kids about this night. Is that what they said? No, they said, let's go see. They were given a message, and what did they do with it? They acted on it. They acted on it. Why? They said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing. They heard, and you know what? They believed. How do I know they believed? Because they went. They believed what was told them. They went to find the king. They went to find the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. They went to find Jesus. I want you to know something. I believe something happened to them old shepherds that night on the side of the hill. You say, why do you believe that, Dave? Well, they heard the word. Guess what? They responded to the word, and they proclaimed the word. Let's see. Let's go on. What does it say? Now, when they had seen him, they found him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And it says, and look what it says, people marveled at their words. It marveled because of what the shepherds were told them. But you know what? I don't see any of them going to see what they had proclaimed. Oh, they were amazed. Amazement didn't produce commitment. They were amazed at the shepherd's message, but it wasn't enough amazement for them to go right down and find it themselves and see Christ themselves. He says, Mary treasured, kept all those things in her heart and pondered them. She reflected deeply on the significance of the birth of the Son of God, how she had been a part of that. And look how it finishes. Don't miss how it finishes here. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. What an amazing evening these guys had. But the amazement was not just an amazing evening, but it was a life-changing moment for them. Why? They came face to face with Christ. And guess what he did? They became missionaries for him, proclaiming the word. You know, they were no longer thinking, well, nobody's going to listen to us. We're just shepherds. Do you see that? You see the ground being level? Those outcasts, that which society said we won't listen to, becomes the mouthpiece for which God uses to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we are, 2018 years later, reading about these guys proclaiming. You know why? It's your turn. It's your turn. Oh, we look around. Who among us is worthy of the message of Jesus Christ? None of us. Who of us deserved hell around above anything else? Every one of us. But we receive grace because Christ has come. Because Christmas has come, grace is applied to our life. And if we have Jesus Christ, we have everything we need to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Christmas is about a birth of a Savior. Make it known. Oh, you don't have a whole lot of time. You put it off. You make excuses. You won't get it done. Aren't you glad these guys didn't make excuses? They went and proclaimed. And there's many people that were amazed. But it didn't change the way that they proclaimed, did it? It made a difference in these guys' lives. Why? They had joy. They had joy that Christ brings. The joy was found in the Christ child, and it would change their lives for eternity. Are we going to lose the wonder of the birth of Christ because of presents and family and all these ways, traditions that we celebrate? Are we going to lose the wonder of what Christmas is really about? Christ has come, guys. The babe came to a manger, came to shepherds, proclaimed the message of Christ. And you know what? He's still looking for people to do the same thing they did. He's still asking for people that feel like, you know what? We're not worthy. None of us are. But aren't you glad that we stand in the one that is worthy? Stand. God was reconciling us to himself in Christ. He sent him into the world to rescue us. He became a man so that we might become the sons of God. What a message. Linda, come and play, and we're done. Applications. How do you respond to Christmas? Here's the deal. How are you going to respond? How did they respond? They heard the message. They went and saw, and they went and proclaimed it. You see, church and Sunday mornings is not just about coming here and sitting on a pew and getting our ears tickled by the message of God, but it's taking that message outside these walls. It's living and proclaiming Christ wherever we are. You are his missionaries. You are his shepherds. When we come in contact with the great, listen, we get to hold this book that was written by God. We think, listen, oh, if I saw an angel, it changed me. You've seen more than an angel. You've seen Jesus Christ, and he's changed many of you here. He's come and changed your life. So much greater, the veil of heaven has been opened because of what Christ has done. You waiting on a miracle? Look at the room full. Number two, do you use this special time to proclaim what you've heard and seen? Let's be honest. Are we sharing what you've heard and seen? Christmas time, the world is actually soft on the things of Christ. Oh, it'll harden back real quick. What about next Sunday evening? You going to invite somebody? You going to come yourself? Is it going to mean enough for you to come yourself and then invite somebody? Are you going to step outside of your comfort zone and your luxuries and just sitting on a pew and make a difference in the world while you got time? Christianity is not what we've made it into. It's what Christ has called us to, and that's to be his light. That's to be his salt. That's to reach out to a lost world. How are we going to do Christmas? Number three, do you have the joy that only Christ can bring? Let's stand to our feet. What's Christ said to you? Are you lost this morning? Do you know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your heart? Do you know that without a doubt? The Bible says you can know. It's not an arrogance. It's a knowing through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. If you don't know that, this is your time to come and receive him. Christ has come for you. Individually. You say, well, what about everybody else? He's not talking about everybody else right now. He's talking about you. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus one day and give an account. This babe that grew into a man, give his life on a cross, resurrected, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You will stand and give an account for that. And that's the only thing that's going to matter. Are you lost? Come receive Christ. Bow your heads before the Lord. Is there anybody here that needs to receive Christ this morning? Don't listen to the devil and how he tries to talk us out of it. Respond to what Christ has said to you. Anybody lost? He waits. He waits. Does anybody here just need to say, you know what? I do Christmas just like everybody else, and I'm guilty. I get tore up about presents and not having money to pay bills and what yada, 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 you place it in there. If that's the way you're doing Christmas, just come and give, Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. What's Christ saying to you? Is there a burden you need to lay down? He's waiting on you. What's he saying to you? The altar's open. I'm not going to wait long. If you need to respond, you respond. Looky here. I hope that you're all living what you've seen, what you've heard. You can walk out this door and never say anything to anybody else about Jesus. This altar should have been full. Your testimony lives out where you're standing. And you know, everybody can't just see Jesus in you, and that's all you need to do. You have to tell it. You have to proclaim it, just like they did. So don't forget that. Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock kids program. Parents, have your kids here at 4:30. We need to get the, please, somebody stay, guys, and help move this off the stage so we have kids. We'll get you happy tonight, your treat bags. So invite somebody. Invite somebody to the kids program. Invite somebody to come out. Use this as a platform to reach your communities, your neighborhoods, people that don't normally come to church, and use it as a tool. Why? Because the time is growing short. And Christ will soon return. It's the only thing that's going to matter. Donnie closes in